Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Dre, let's hit it.
Rob 40, you ready for this? Let's get this party started.
Oh,
here,
yeah, let's kick it, let's kick it, let's kick it.
Right on time.
Talking sports, people, the 12th man.
Yes, sir. Let's kick it out. Here we go.
Rob 40!
We got nothing but football for y'all tonight, NFL and college.
Your time is up,
my time is up now.
You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Man, we're having fun with our little hiatuses, but we are officially right back. Today, of course, is December the 10th. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. You are Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Without further ado, I always like to introduce my partner in crime, checking how he's doing. Mr. Rob, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, doing fantastic, man. I tell you what, excited to be back on the air and ready to talk some sports and some football. We got a lot to get to.
Let's do it. So, as always, we want to throw out some numbers. If you want to reach out and want to share your thoughts as well, as always, you want to call into the show, the number to call is 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. We are also available via social media. If you want to follow us, check us out on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with 12 Men, you will find us. Find that lovely picture of me. And then always, if you like, I've been in there. If you want to follow us via Twitter?
And a handsome picture of me.
I was thinking Robert Sanchez. I kind of switched it up there. But if you want to follow us via Twitter, we're also available in that route. If you go to twitter.com, obviously at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and you will find us as well. But Rob, man, we got a lot of things to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started, Rob. Number one, I always try to figure out how I can fit in Johnny Manziel in conversation as well as Tim Tebow, but. You know, now we're actually talking about this, and it is official. Johnny Manziel will actually start for the Browns this weekend. We're asking, is this the right move? And I'm going to kind of open it up to you for this, Rob. And I'm sure we were thinking about what took so long is going to be the question in our minds. But what are your thoughts about this? Is this a good move for the Browns?
I think it's time. You know, I think Brian Hoyer has been solid for most of the season, but the offense has been stagnant now for quite a few games. And they've hit like a little two-game slide here as well. I think they're right at the 7-6 mark, so they're still in contention. And the AFC, which is pretty loaded this year, by the way. And, you know, you look like you might have quite a few teams with winning records in the AFC that missed the playoffs. And Cleveland is right in that bunch, still contending. Defense is pretty solid, playing well most of the year. And, you know, you spend a first-round pick on a quarterback. Yeah, at some point, you got to get him on the field and see what he's going to what can he do at the quarterback position. And I think Brian Hoyer, like I said, did a solid job for most of the season. But the last few weeks, the offense is going stagnant and having trouble getting in the end zone. So you got to see if Manziel could get them over the hump and possibly get into the playoffs here. I think it's time.
Yeah, I think it's. I agree with you, Rob. It's kind of one of the situations where I actually give Mike Pettine a lot of credit, Rob, because he's been actually doing a good job of a pretty could have turned into like a crazy situation. Because every day, you know, whenever you know everyone's all about Johnny Football, he's done a great job of managing that. And then now he's like, we're going to let both quarterbacks play, and then Brian Hoyer started. And unfortunately, like you talked about the past couple of weeks, he hasn't really played that well. Cleveland really did a good job, Rob, against the Colts. You know, and unfortunately, that offense can do anything. They were the one team that actually gave Andrew Luck a lot of trouble, Rob. And the next thing you know, so they just couldn't pull it up. They had two defensive touchdowns, but they couldn't do anything offensively. So, you know, yeah, maybe it's a good time to see what Johnny Manziel has, Rob.
They couldn't do diddly poo offensively. They couldn't run the ball. Couldn't get a first down. Just having a little fun talking sports with the 12th man here.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, so that's a good point. And, you know, like I said,
it's a little Jim Mara invitation, people.
We all know. We'll keep it going as well, too. But good stuff. So let's keep it moving here. As we kind of switch a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of a sad situation with Cam Newton. Unfortunately, he got into an accident, Rob, and he actually fractured a couple of things in his back. But, I mean, right now we're going to throw out some prayers for him, and I'm glad that you put this in the you know, obviously within the show topics, because I know that's a big of you in spite of what happened with the Panthers beating the Saints. But, yeah, we're definitely
you had to throw that in, man.
I was giving you a hard – no, I wasn't trying to, like, you know, really, like, you know, bust you, but,
man.
Saints and Falcons we're having tough seasons here, but to say the least, you know, for you to put something in there, you know, obviously that supersedes the game. Make sure
and the Falcons are still in first place, too.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely this is a little bit bigger than football, and obviously Cam Newton is a division rival for both of our teams, for that matter. And but obviously you never want to see nobody get hurt of that magnitude. Could have been a lot worse, so I guess we're very thankful that he possibly even will return this season and play. He won't play this coming Sunday, but our prayers go out to him and his family to get well soon. And Derek Anderson will start at the quarterback position for Carolina in his place. Similar back injury to what Tony Romo had this year, and Romo only missed one game. So if that's the case, you know, I can't. Cam Newton may miss one or two games possibly. So from the looks of it, they're not ruling him out for the rest of the season, so there's a chance that he will return, but just not this week.
Gotcha. An interesting season, to say the least, Rob. Let's kind of draw the NFL playoff picture, you know, because the AFC looks very, very strong, as you know, and then, you know, the NFC, there's obviously some divisions that are very great with, you know, the Packers and whatnot, and then some things that are not well with our division, NFC South. But let's kind of draw, Rob, the NFL playoff picture, if you will, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, let's paint the picture a little bit about where playoffs is as we speak today here. And you look at the NFC right now, the number one seed would be Arizona. The number two seed would be Green Bay. The number three seed would be Philly. And the number four would be Atlanta. The number five, Seattle. The number six, Detroit. So at the moment, that's your NFC picture. As it stands, Philly would host Detroit. Atlanta would host Seattle. And, of course, Arizona and Green Bay would have buys. I think Seattle is getting hot right now, and I could very easily see them surpassing Arizona here in the next few weeks. Arizona's still trying to get by with a backup quarterback. I think in the end that's going to hurt them a little bit. And I can see Seattle moving out of that five spot and moving up. And in this, you know, you got some teams that still has a chance as well on the outside looking in. But as we look at it, that's your NFC picture. And on the AFC side of things, as of right now, New England is the number one seed, Denver 2, Indianapolis 3, Cincinnati 4, San Diego 5, Pittsburgh 6. So very competitive as well on that side. You got a lot of teams with 8-5, 7-6 in the AFC still on the outside looking in as well. Nothing too different here. You know, I like New England and Denver, of course, the best two teams in the conference. Right now, New England would have home field advantage, but I like the way Denver is kind of looking with the development of the running back position of C.J. Anderson. This guy's come out of nowhere, kind of give their offense a whole new dimension. And, you know, so watch these Broncos here. They could be what they need to get over the hump here going forward. So that's a little bit of my perspective. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that here in the NFC-AFC outlook here.
No, good stuff. I mean, you know, I think it's the nail on the head. You kind of definitely did a good job of painting the picture right now. I know whenever we first started the show this season, Rob, we were pretty much thinking that it was going to be kind of a rematch of last year with, you know, with the Denver looking like they were unstoppable. And then, you know, Seattle. And now the season has played out, and you never know. But I definitely love what you talked about as far as Denver. They got the running game going once again. They added a lot of balance, and you know, the Patriots have been playing well. Obviously, Arizona's taken a little dive. I do worry about them definitely coming up to the end of the season. But you know, whoever's kind of hot at this time, Rob, whoever makes that run is what we're looking at, too, because right now the Packers look pretty strong. On the defensively, I know even the Falcons are able to put some things against them. You know, I don't know if that's because they kind of let up the gas or whatever, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out in the playoffs because if the team gets hot, Rob, you never know how they can definitely make a run in that playoff picture.
Yeah, yeah, and I, as we just mentioned, Seattle at one point was looking like a team that I didn't see them repeating. But as you look at it here in the last 3 to 4 weeks, they've really turned it around. Defense playing well. They're controlling the ball on offense. You got to watch Seattle again in the NFC. I think, you know, before it's all said and done, I think they'll win that division. And I think we could be looking at a Seattle-Green Bay for the NFC. And I think we're going to get a rematch of Denver and New England in the AFC.
Yeah, I could see that for sure, for sure, for sure. All right, so speaking of Seattle, and let's talk about San Francisco. Clearly, they've been in the headlines, not only because of the Jim Harbaugh stuff, Rob, but also getting beat by Oakland. And, you know, can they win on Sunday is the question, and it's been pretty interesting, Rob. I think because of all the distraction with Jim Harbaugh, I think that's why it's going to be tough for them. I mean, I don't know, they may surprise us and pull something out. But it's just kind of a tough scenario with the Michigan job, with Oakland. A lot of things going on. I don't think this team is focused. I think the same thing's happened with Colin Kaepernick. I don't think they're going to win on Sunday, Rob. That's kind of my thoughts, sir.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we just talked about this Seattle team pretty good here. And when they played in San Francisco a couple of weeks, San Francisco couldn't get in the end zone on them. And Seattle's, like I said, really turning the corner for the better as we speak. They're looking more and more like that team that won the Super Bowl last year. And San Francisco looks like a team that's in disarray and is in decline as we speak. And Kaepernick looked like he has regressed at the quarterback position. He does not look comfortable in the pocket at all. And so I can't see them going to Seattle and win. Not at all. I think it would be a complete shock if they're able to pull this game out. I like Seattle here.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, unless something happens that's pretty surprising right now, you know, unless they try to rally, but it's going to be a tough game for the 49ers. And obviously, we hate to say that, like, because we know we have a lot of fans of California, and I'll be making my trip to California too, but it's just we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, Jim Harbaugh's on his way out, and it looks like the team is kind of starting to lose that lack of focus for sure. Whew! We're almost halfway, and I'll pull out the numbers and whatnot like that, too. But I like how you put this in there as far as the worst Super Bowl performance of all time. What was your motivation about this, Rob? And tell us who you think is the worst Super Bowl performance of all time, sir.
Just a little mix-up, you know. Every now and again, I like to, you know, kind of flash back to a little history and, you know, in the sports world here, and just was thinking about some Super Bowls and things like that. The one that comes to mind for me was a 1989 Super Bowl between the 49ers and the Broncos. It was actually right here in New Orleans in the Superdome where Joe Montana and the 49ers just teed off on the Broncos 55-10. And I would say that performance by Denver is what stands out to me as the worst Super Bowl performance ever. You know, a team that I think was in the AFC was a very weak conference if you go back to those days. And there were several teams in the NFC at that time that was better than the best team in the AFC. And unfortunately, we just got stuck with a bad Super Bowl. And the Broncos was John Elway and nobody else at the time. And they just got hammered, and it showed on a football field. To me, that stands out as the worst Super Bowl performance in NFL history.
I hate to pick on the Bronco fans, but I'm going to go with last year, Rob, and only because of I think that the expectations of a good game, you know, because you had the number one offense versus the number one defense. We just figured it would be a more competitive game. Like, you were thinking, man, this is going to be back and forth, a really competitive Super Bowl. And unfortunately, it turned out to be, you know, just, you know, obviously Seattle just kind of like had their way with the Broncos. So I think for me, Rob, it was the expectation of having a really, really good Super Bowl, and it didn't actually play out that way, you know. So, you know, more or less as far as the scores, you know, there's been some blowouts and you know, you mentioned, you know, obviously the class, you know, the 49ers are really good at blowing out squads. You know, you can go back to the Broncos, or to the Bills getting blown out, a couple of things too. But I just think for me that was really tough because you had such high expectations in that game, and it just didn't play out that way. So that's kind of me from my perspective.
All right, to our listeners in the Denver area, don't hate us. You know, don't send us no hate mail or anything like that. Yeah, you know, we appreciate y'all listening and tuning in. We just keeping it real, you know.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, but they've won. You've got two Super Bowls, so, you know, you got definitely more than the Falcons, one more than the Saints. But, you know, it
Saints
is what it is.
Well.
So, yeah, so, but anyway, we're kind of halfway in the show, so I just want to throw out the number one more time. If you want to give us your thoughts, Denver fans, notwithstanding, 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. So let's go ahead and get this going here. I guess we're getting in the stage, Rob, where we're starting to get into some college players are turning pro. There's a lot of list of players, and we got the Heisman coming up this weekend. I'm sure we'll talk about that as well. But let's talk about Melvin Gordon, Rob. Stud running back from Wisconsin. He is officially entering in the NFL draft. I guess the question is, where do you think he's going to be drafted in the list of running backs? And is he going to be the number one running back over a Todd Gurley, you think? Or what's your perspective on him? And how do you think he's going to actually do in the NFL, Rob?
Well, you know, it's interesting here. This is an interesting topic here because the running back position has been kind of devalued in the draft over the last few years. You know, you can look at several teams across the NFL that are getting by with running backs that weren't picked in the first round. If you look at one of the hottest running backs in the league right now, C.J. Anderson of Denver, I mean, I don't think this guy was drafted at all, undrafted free agent. And so it's a position that has been devalued. Teams feel like they can find good running backs almost anywhere these days. But prior to Todd Gurley getting injured, this looked like we were going to have the first draft in a while where we were going to have some running backs going the first round. And it looked like we were going to have two with Gurley and Gordon. Not sure about Gurley with the injury situation now. It may drop him a little bit. You know, we'll see how he comes along with his recovery the closer we get to the draft. But everything as it stands now, Gordon looks clearly like a top 10 pick. He's a long strider, great runner, great vision, hits the hole. He's got the power and speed combination, and he, you know, like I said, he has a vision. As far as a pure downhill runner, he's one of the best that's going to come into the league in a while. Now, obviously, coming out of a program like Wisconsin, they're not really a passing offense, so, you know, we're going to definitely have to see, you know, can he pass block, can he catch the ball out of the backfield and add those elements to his game. But clearly right now he looks like a top 10 pick, closer to somewhere between 6 and 10, not in the top 5, probably somewhere closer to somewhere between 6 and 10 in the draft.
And so you think Todd Gurley is definitely dropped to possibly like the second round or something like that? What are you trying to tell me, Rob, or what?
Well, I think, you know, once we figure out his injury situation, his recovery, I think it's kind of hard to gauge with Gurley right now. I think, you know, by the time we get closer to the draft, you know, scouts, you know, get a better idea how his recovery is coming along and things of that nature. So I think his draft status, I would put a question mark behind it. You know, he may even decide to come back to school, but I doubt that. I think he will probably still go ahead and take his chances. I don't know if he want to take a chance of re-injuring himself in college. So he still may go ahead and go pro, even though he's coming off that injury.
Rob, he is not going back to college, Rob. It's over, so you might as well hang that one up, too. But that's just me. All right, cool. I mean, just a little side note, too. He's not coming back, but it's all good. Speaking of that, I guess we're going to kick it back. We've kind of put the flop in here. We're going to talk about some NFL players that Rob thinks are the most overpaid NFL players. So go ahead and there are five. I guess you got five you want to target. Go ahead, sir. Let's keep this moving, sir.
Yeah, you know, hopefully I will get a hate mail from these players as well. But I'm going to start the list off. First guy on my list is Jay Cutler. Got a big contract. He's got a lot of talent, but he just never seems to be able to get his team to that next level. I know. And my next player, you know, even though he's won two Super Bowls, I still don't think he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, and that's Eli Manning. You know, he's still very prone to making bad decisions on the football field. And obviously those two Super Bowls, he was with some great teams or with great defenses at the time that really was able to help him get, take that next step. And, of course, Greg Hardy has been suspended just the entire season and been a big blow to the Carolina Panthers defense. He's been suspended with pay, and so that's why you have to put him on the list here, the overpaid. Percy Harvin, another guy that's, you know, one of the highest-paid wide receivers in the league, not quite living up to that. You know, standard, even when Seattle even gave up on him this year. Joe Flacco, this guy won the Super Bowl a few years ago, but, you know, they gave him that big contract over $100 million. Obviously, quarterbacks are going to get paid. That's just the nature of the business. But I still never felt like he was an elite quarterback to get to that level. So those are just some five players that I have. Not that these guys are not good players. I just think they're not giving the value in return to the team.
I love it. I got to agree with you 100% with Jay Cutler, man. Poor man, all my Chicago Bears fans, wow. Anyway, very interesting to say the least. But, yeah, you know, maybe Flacco may not be as overpaid in that instance, but, you know, I can't really complain about the list at all, man. That was good stuff, sir. We got about 8 minutes. I do want to get through a couple topics here before we get to the OT. I want to talk about Damian Clowney, Rob. If you didn't know, he literally he's going to have that microfracture surgery. Apparently, it's a 9-month recovery process. And I guess the question is, will he be a bust? I mean, you know, your thoughts, Rob? I mean, because, you know, I'm sure this dude, clearly most talented, dominant player, one of the dominant players in college football, and he showed some flashes in the preseason, but now, you know, is it kind of better shape than sorry, Rob, or what's the deal you think with the Clowney, Rob?
Well, obviously, this is a an injury that you hate to see happen, but I think Jadeveon Clowney is a freakish athlete, and I'm not going to say he's going to be a bust. I still think this guy's got a lot of talent. I think before it's all said and done, you're going to see this guy be a heck of a football player in the National Football League. So I'm just going to say, you know, his rookie season, of course, has been a bust, but I think his career will not be a bust. I think you'll see it, and we got a report this evening that he should be ready to return by the start of training camp. So I would think you'll start to see that. He gets healthy, and you'll start to see his talent in the NFL starting next year.
Let's get this NFL predictions here. First and foremost, let's kick it off with Miami at New England. What say you, sir, about this first particular game matchup?
I like New England here. You know, other than the game losing to Green Bay, which is a game that was competitive, they're back at home, and they're not seeming to lose at home this year. I like New England.
I agree. Next, we've got Houston at Indy. Indy seems to be pretty dominant in the dome. I'm going to go with Indianapolis on this, but what say you for this particular matchup?
I'm going to go with Indy as well. I think they put up a lot more points than Houston. I think Indy wins by 10.
Another interesting matchup, Green Bay at Buffalo. Green Bay obviously coming from that great game versus the Falcons. Dusting them, I don't think Buffalo's going to be able to keep up with the Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is on fire right now. What say you, sir?
I agree with you, but I think this game is going to be a lot closer than people think. Buffalo has a heck of a defensive line. They lead the NFL in sacks. They have been very competitive, getting pressure on the quarterback with everybody they played this year. Look for this game to be a lot more competitive. I don't see Green Bay winning this game by more than a touchdown. But
wow.
I do like Green Bay to win it, but a close game.
Gotcha. Yeah, it could be very interesting. Let's talk about this, sir. Let's talk about we've talked about Johnny Manziel getting his first start, Cincinnati at Cleveland. I think it was a good call for Mike to have him playing at home. Do you think this is Johnny Manziel's coming out party, Rob?
I think Manziel will be competitive. You know, it's his first start. I think there will be some rookie mistakes in this game. I think the game will be close, but I like Cincinnati on the road pulling out a close one.
Wow. Now let's talk about the next time. Let's talk about Denver at San Diego. I still think San Diego, in spite of playing at home, this is going to be a tough game for Denver, but I do think Denver may pull this one out. But what are your thoughts on this, sir?
I agree. I'm picking the road team in third straight matchup here. I like Denver. Like I said, I think they're balanced now. They were a one-dimensional team early in the season. Now they can throw it and they can run it, and they're doing it very well. I'm even, you know, Denver is getting to – I think their team is developing to the point where I think they can even go to New England and beat them in the playoffs if they have to go on the road. But, you know, we'll see. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I do like Denver on the road over San Diego.
There you go, Broncos fans. We came back around, showed you some love.
There you go.
About
I threw that hate mail back in the trash.
Yeah, throw it back there. Go ahead and burn that. We talked about this earlier, San Francisco at Seattle. It's at home, 12-man. We're pretty much confident. I think both of us are picking Seattle to win, unless some type of miracle that they have that bunker mentality. It'll be tough for San Francisco to pull this one off. They could surprise us, though, but I'm picking Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going with Seattle as well. Going back with the home team here. 12-man, Seattle is turning the corner and looking like that Super Bowl team again. I like Seattle.
Tough game. This is an interesting game. Dallas at Philadelphia. Mark Sanchez is doing his thing, you know. What are your thoughts on this particular matchup, sir? This is a good one to pick.
I like Philly here. I think Dallas defense is the last month or so, as you've been starting to see it go downhill a little bit here. And I like Philadelphia. I think they'll be able to pull up some points. And, you know, they beat them at Dallas. I think they'll beat them at home as well. I like Philly here.
Wow, good call. All right, so it's love. So it's love. Let's get through some fantasy shout-outs. We've got about 3 minutes. Just give us a minute to do the fantasy shout-outs, and then we'll go ahead and kick it into the OT portion, as we always do, Rob. So go ahead and do your thing, sir.
Well, we're in the playoffs in all three of our fantasy football leagues. Of course, we certainly appreciate all of our participants in playing this year. As we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. In league number one, our biggest winner of the week was actually yours truly. Myself, Nola Breakers, beat Eagles Chick for Life 195.90 to 112.48. And, of course, I advanced to play the team that's in first place, Black and Gold Patrol. He's in the Atlanta area, holding down the first place spot as we speak. In league number two, biggest matchup of the week, biggest win from the week of last week was SmackDown. SmackDown right here in the New Orleans area had a big win, 176.42 over playoffs, 88.42. And, of course, the team that's holding down the first place spot in this league is Saints Pelicans 23, also right here in the New Orleans area, holding down a first place spot. And our money league, this was a league, of course, our first place winner is going to take on a pot of $300, and the second place a pot of $60 here. And the biggest win of the week in this league was Hot Rod's team in the Atlanta area, 164.78 over Trucking 101, 106.66. And Irvin's team is holding down the first place spot in the league, who's also in the Atlanta area as well. So those are our fantasy shout-outs. We certainly appreciate everyone for playing again. We need to wrap up the show, our live portion here. Tune in again next Tuesday night, 10 Central, 11 Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are getting ready to go into our OT portion to talk a little college football, so definitely tune in to that tomorrow when you get a minute. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion live, but click on the same link and you can listen to our college football portion of our show on tomorrow. We certainly appreciate everyone tuning in again. Andre, you got any closing remarks?
No, let's go ahead and just say that we're going to talk about some college football. We're going to talk about some reports in Michigan. We're going to talk about the Heisman, some Big 12. It'll be a brief OT portion, but as always, well, thank you. Looking forward to it, and we got about 10 seconds or so. So good night, people.
Good night, America. Good night, world.
And that is it. We are officially wrapping up the OT portion, and we are wrapping up the regular portion heading into the OT portion of the show. And you got all your fantasy shout-outs in there, right, sir? You were able to get everything out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was definitely all the fantasy shout-outs.
Wow. I was making sure.
One last fantasy shout-out, Fantasy Basketball League. I know it's still kind of early in the season, but Anthony Davis, a new 21. His team is in first place from here in the New Orleans area as well. He's off to a great start so far.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all right. It's all right. All right. Let's keep this going here. Rob, reports are that David Cutliffe turns down Michigan. Where did this even come from? He's not even a Michigan man, if I'm not. Is he not a Michigan man, if I'm not mistaken? How did this even come to fruition? I mean, are they going outside the box here, or is this because they're not sure about Jim Harbaugh? What are your thoughts about this particular announcement?
Well, you know, I think what they did here, you know, Cutcliffe has had a lot of success at, you know, anybody that can win in football at Duke, you know, you got to at least look and see what this guy is doing. He's been a successful coach everywhere he's been. He was a very good offensive coordinator at Tennessee, a very good head coach at Ole Miss for a lot of years, and like I said, doing a great job at Duke. So I think this was a good look and see kind of move for Michigan. But I think if you're Michigan, you got to be concerned. You call a head coach that's at Duke and he's turning down Michigan. Yeah, I think you got to be a little concerned, you know, if you're the Michigan Wolverine. So, yeah, if you are Michigan, based on my sources right now, they have a list of three candidates. Jim Harbaugh is their first choice. Les Miles is their second choice. Greg Schiano is their third choice. And my personal belief is that Greg Schiano will be the next head coach at the University of Michigan. That's going to be my prediction. I think Harbaugh is set on staying in the NFL, and it's probably not going to be with the 49ers. I could very easily see him just moving across the bay and working for the Oakland Raiders. Based on my sources, his wife loves the Bay Area, doesn't really want to move, and so that gives the Raiders a little bit of an advantage for his services. If he's going to stay in the NFL with somebody other than San Francisco. And Les Miles, even though he's also a Michigan man, I think he's entrenched in Baton Rouge. His family, his kids have mainly grown up there. And I think he's set at LSU. And so I'm thinking he's going to turn down Michigan here for a third time is going to be my prediction. And which leaves us to Greg Schiano. Being the next head football coach at Michigan is my prediction.
Wow. I love it, sir. I love it. I did want to ask you, did you want to talk a little bit more about Florida's hire of Greg McElwain? I don't know if you want to talk about that. That was kind of an announcement that we had. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. So do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that was, you know, Jim McElwain, the new head football coach at Florida. Actually, we were closing out our OT portion last week. I think it was kind of breaking that they was finalizing the contract on our show last week. But now it's official, of course. And I think it's a solid job. I think it's a solid hire by Florida, getting somebody that has experience in the SEC. He's an offensive coordinator from the Alabama under Nick Saban for quite some time before he left out to go to Colorado State. He won two national championships as an offensive coordinator. So I think I was thinking that Florida will go for a bigger name to make a splash kind of hire. But I think in the grand scheme of things, I think this is a guy that can get the job done. And he's familiar with the SEC. So I'm going to give it a good hire by Florida here.
Let me ask you a question.
Look for this team to go back to more of a pro-style offense.
Yeah, that's how it should be, too. But let me ask you this question, too, Rob. Was there any reason why, you know, Dan Mullen was out of the picture, you know? I mean, just in general, he didn't want to go back there? I mean, did you have anything to, you know, your thoughts about this real quick?
Well, Dan Mullen made it known that he wasn't interested in the job. And obviously, I guess he felt more comfortable if he was going to stay in the SEC, staying in Mississippi State. Now, I thought if Dan Mullen was going to leave, it would be for Michigan more than it would be for Florida. And that was just my thoughts. And I'm not sure if he's still in the Michigan mix. Maybe if somehow they don't get Greg Schiano, maybe he's back in it. But it looks as though Dan Mullen will be entrenched and staying in Mississippi State. And he's got Dak Prescott coming back for a senior year. He's got Robinson, the running back, coming back again. That team should be good again next year.
Yeah, I mean, it was just curious, you know. I guess I think Robbie spent all the time building the program, but it was interesting to say the least. But you know, I had a lot of Florida people asking me about that, so I figured I would share that too. Anyway, good stuff, man. Good stuff. We're making progress here, man. I didn't think we'd have enough time for the OT, but we'll hopefully fit everything in. Real quick, the Heisman is taking an interesting, route, if you will, from what we started from the beginning of the season. We were thinking, you know, maybe Jameis was going to repeat, but things happened. Todd Gurley's even on there. And now it's come down to three interesting people, Marcus Mariota, come down to Melvin Gordon, and Amari Cooper as a surprise entry into that. Who do you think will win? And who do you think is going to win? Who do you think should win? And if it's the same person, that's totally fine too. So I'll let you go and do your thing there.
Well, I think Amari Cooper is a guy that's really climbed and really has in the last month or so has got his name under consideration. But I think it's Marcus Mariota's to win, and I think he's a deserving winner. But I think Amari Cooper has climbed to a pretty close second, where I thought Mariota looked like he was running away with it at one point. But I still think he's a deserving winner, and he should win it. I had a debate. I swing back and forth. You know, some weeks I think Oregon is the best team in the country. And then I think I'm not sure they can match Alabama's physicality. So it should be interesting. This playoff should be very interesting.
So you think that Amari Cooper should definitely, he's deserving of the Heisman, and he should be able to, he's the best player. I should win it as well, is what you're telling me?
Well, no, I just think he's climbed up the ranks to get his name in consideration. Mariota is a deserving winner, in my opinion. But I think Cooper is second.
Gotcha. My apologies. I didn't catch that. But, okay, cool. Melvin Gordon may be a surprise pick, man. So we'll see how it plays out. He's had a phenomenal season too, man. So, we'll keep an eye on that for sure. All right. As we wrap up, the last thing, Big 12 is looking to expand, if you didn't know. So I guess, what schools do you think, Rob, would be a good addition for this expansion?
Well, as you know, yeah, as oxymoron as this, the Big 12 has 10 teams. And there's 10 teams in that Big 12. And here's the situation here. And the way college football is set up right now, you have to have at least 12 teams in your conference to play a championship game. So out of the Big 5 conferences, the Big 12 is the only one that doesn't have a championship game because they don't meet the requirements of having at least 12 teams in a conference. So if you saw what happened this past weekend, going into the final weekend of the season, TCU was going to be in the playoff and Ohio State was out. So Ohio State beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. The Big 12 did not have a championship game. So it elevated Ohio State because they beat a ranked opponent, and they got an extra win because they played in a championship game. So in other words, you got a 12-1 Ohio State team that's getting in over an 11-1 TCU and an 11-1 Baylor. Personally, I think Baylor was the more deserving team over Ohio State, even though Ohio State got that one extra win. Baylor should have been the outright Big 12 champions because they beat TCU head-to-head. And I just think even though the Big 12 didn't have a championship game, the Big 12 was a better conference overall than the Big 10. But Ohio State got it. And so now what the Big 12 is having to do here is they're having to, in order to help their teams, they're the only team that's not they're the only conference has not represented in this playoff out of the Big 5 conferences. You have Alabama from the SEC, you have Oregon from the Pac-12, you have Florida State from the ACC, and you have Ohio State from the Big 10. So there's no team from the Big 12 conference. So now what the commissioners of the conference have to do is try to get two more teams in the conference so they can get back to playing a Big 12 championship game to help their schools stay in contention for a playoff and get that extra win. And so right now I think the first school you have to look at if you're the Big 12 would be BYU. They're an independent school right now, and somebody that that could help their conference, you know, expand into that Salt Lake market as well. I think another school you can look into would be Cincinnati out of the American Athletic Conference. You could also look at Central Florida as well as a possibility for somebody like Memphis. So they're going to have to look at two of those schools and get them in their conference almost ASAP to help their schools to get into the playoffs.
I like it, man. That's good stuff, Rob. So way to kind of bring the show to a nice close, man. And I agree with you, Rob. You know, it's been interesting. They're still trying to tweak the system. Are you happy with the way the college playoffs actually ended up, Rob? Or, I mean, as we get ready to wrap up the show, are you kind of happy with how it officially ended there?
Well, you know, my thing is this. I think you had six teams that deserved to go to the playoffs, but you only had four spots. So in that regard, it's a little disappointing because, I mean, based on the system, I thought Baylor was a little bit more deserving than Ohio State, but this committee has gave more points to Ohio State for getting that extra win, and they had the advantage of playing the Big Ten championship game, getting that extra win.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, it's not a perfect system. At least we're trying, to say the least. You know, I don't think anyone's going to be totally happy with all scenarios. But like you said, at least we're making progress, better than just an arbitrary BCS system. But hopefully next year they'll expand it to six, and maybe we'll get to, you know, even bigger to eight. I don't know. But, you know, that's the thought process. With that being said, sir, we are officially wrapping up this edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. Is there anything else you want to say before we get ready to wrap this show up officially?
Well, we certainly appreciate all of our listeners from around the world tuning into our show, our listeners in Europe and all over the U.S. as well. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Continue to tune in to us. I believe next week we should be back on our regular night of Tuesday night. So just pay attention to our posts, Facebook and Twitter. Should be 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Germany, that will be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. We know you all get up that early to listen to our show, and we greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, good deal. Obviously, we appreciate, as Rob said, you guys listening. It's been an exciting year. I know it's been fun. We're getting ready to wrap up a great 2014. We've had a lot of shows, Rob, you know, doing this, man, so it's been a great time. We'll do a nice little synop, and thank you for all our listeners, too, because it just, you know, we keep getting better, and we enjoy doing this, so we want to thank you guys for listening to us. And anyway, for that's just my perspective. For my coach, Rob Ford, Andre Peterson, I'm officially signing off. Have a good one.
Good night, people.
Good night.